I don't like bullies. I don't care where they're from.
Welcome to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with motorcycles and melting faces.
And America. America. When America was great for some. I don't even know what patriotic song that was. It started off like
from sea to shine.
It sounded off like that, but then it kind of switched into like a Sousa thing.
Yeah, no, that's where I was going with it. I don't even live here.
So
I don't even go ahead.
Are you singing? Were you trying to sing "America the Beautiful" but do like a Sousa version of it?
Yeah, probably.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't know. Welcome to Super Action Bros, everybody, or as we call it now for the coming months, SAB MCU, where the Super Action Bros watch movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yep.
From front to back. So now we are almost. We're almost there. We've almost reached it.
We are cresting the end of phase one.
Yes. This is the last individual hero movie we're gonna watch. Well, like, technically you're right.
Yeah, kind of,
but even then this isn't really that individual. But this is Captain America the First Avenger.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised took them this long to get to, arguably after maybe Spider-Man and, well, maybe the X-Men too, but like as a pinnacle character, especially of the Avengers.
Yeah,
like, for them to take this long to get to Captain America, I was very, very surprised.
I kind of felt like it was partially like a saving the best for last kind of
thing. I have a feeling that,
that's partially true. The like if we hold off on making this one and make these other ones, then those other ones will be right. Successful and we'll get a bigger budget for this.
That's
one.
True. Is it any good? Does it hold up as well? Or is it like, is the other Captain America movie where it was in the 90s that was made just to keep the license better? Let's find out. Which I've actually,
I won't be able to judge it 'cause I haven't seen that one.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's not very good. But still, funnily enough, not outside of MCU canon, but the best Fantastic Four movie, the one that is most comic book accurate, is that crappy one.
Oh yeah, the Roger Corman.
That's the one that is the most comic book accurate out of all of them.
You know, we're getting to the point where comic book movies have been just like sort of the thing for nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't care about comic book accuracy in movies anymore. I want them to be good movies.
I do care about comic book accuracy, but...
Have you seen a Zack Snyder movie?
No.
Because they talked about how accurate Watchmen was, but it didn't make it good.
I thought Watchmen... Okay.
No, I mean, we have a whole other episode where we talked about this.
Oh, Ryan. You very clearly haven't seen Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, it is very clear.
Because if you think Watchmen is high art in comparison to that.
No, I got you. But I feel like...
Don't worry, Ryan.
I feel like
after this, we'll do the DC movies and we'll see. You'll see how good Thor is.
I feel like the specter of comic book accuracy can justify a lot of things that may not work as well in a film version.
Yeah, but also...
And in a film version in the 2000s. And so...
Okay, but I would even say that the old fan... Okay, we're getting off.
It's cool for fans, but I think that...
I think there's a point where you... Comic book accuracy versus we just took the name Fantastic Four and just did what we want with it.
Agreed. There needs to be a balance there.
Yes.
But I think that...
Like, I don't know. They need to... I don't know. I didn't watch the new Fantastic Four.
No, I haven't
I've watched reviews and people online who I trust, and the points they make are it's just so bad.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
That's not the movie we're talking about.
The MCU movies are pretty good.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
So before we get into that, though, there's a couple ways you can reach out to our show if you like we do. If you like the new Fantastic Four, let us know. We can talk about it. Best way to do that is to reach out to us at our website, stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork, and you can listen to the show right there on the page. You can also subscribe if you like what you hear. We have plenty of backlog episodes. So if the Marvel Universe isn't your thing, we have all sorts of weird, wacky action movies we watched before.
Listen to us talk about every Matrix movie.
Eventually, we'll get back to that. But right now, we're just taking a bit of a sabbatical. We're like, we need to watch something that's going to make us smile. but so far, actually, it's been making me really question if they're really as good as I thought they were. I mean, they're still good. I still enjoy them. But are they like the pinnacle of best, like... Are they like really high like level action movies? I don't know.
Stay with us.
We'll find out. Thanks, Ira. So you can subscribe to us if you like on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can also reach out to us on social media if you have questions or comments or anything you like that we said or don't like that we said or want us to watch a movie. You can do that by going to that page, clicking on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, or Letterboxd. We have all the different social media outlets there. You can reach out to us on or also leave reviews on or whatever you want to do. We like seeing reviews about our show. So please
if you haven't had a review in a while, please just
if you're listening to it and you like something. Please just throw up on iTunes, give your honest opinion. If you don't like, if you don't think it's very good, if you said I wish they would stop watching these Marvel movies, you can tell us. That's fine.
I've also been tweeting about movie trailers on the Super Action Bros Twitter. Just
we'll talk a little bit about.
I felt like there were takes that needed to be had.
There's been some trailers that we should probably talk about at the end of this.
Yeah, we'll talk about.
And also a certain space themed space opera movie trailer came out that I think fits perfectly with our show.
Phantom of the Moon.
Yeah, sure. So
I would watch a movie called Phantom of the Moon. Let's go ahead and just put that out there.
Fair enough. So you can also reach out to us individually on Twitter by clicking on our photos. But if you want to do that right now, you can reach out to me, Ian, at iRich. That's at iRitch.
I'm on Twitter too, Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email us too. There's a big contact us button on the very front page of the site. So you can do that. Spell out the form, select our show, send us an email. We'll read it here on the show. So all that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yes.
I remember seeing this movie. I remember being, again, the hype for Avengers was building. And it was like, all right, man, it was like a countdown. Well, I mean, it was like, there's one more after this.
The credits of this movie end with a trailer for the Avengers.
That's the post, spoiler alert, that's the post credit sequence. I would say rather
there's a mid credit sequence, isn't there?
No, that's it. That comes at the very, very end. Nope.
No?
Nope, that's it.
It's just part of the trailer.
Is the end of it. But I remember, when we get to the part where we talk about
it,
that.
It makes an assemble joke.
That's right.
Some assembly required, I believe is what it says.
I mean.
How droll.
Okay. To be fair, it's cheesy. Ooh, but that's pretty good marketing.
No, I mean, it's that's pretty cheesy.
Somebody was just sitting in a conference room and was like, some assembly required. And they're like, nice. Jerry, you're making $100,000 more.
Pour yourself another scotch, Jerry.
So this is a madman office.
Aren't all advertising? Wasn't that a documentary?
I mean, kind of from the 1960s. Yes. So let's talk about Captain America. Do we want to talk about him as a character first and then talk about the cast and crew? Because this is one of our last, like, well, we're going to have more, but this is one of this. He's a pretty tentpole Marvel character.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's, you know. He's been punching Nazis since the 40s.
I mean, he has. He's punched Hitler in the face over, 40 times?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, he's one of the old school, like, not a whole lot of years after Superman came out did we get Captain America.
Well, arguably, the two earlier Marvel heroes, because this Captain America wasn't even being published on Marvel. It was back when Marvel was Timely Comics back in the day. And he came out after, well, one character is actually in this movie.
Very
briefly. But if you're a Marvel nerd like me, you'll notice it.
Or if you read the IMDb trivia like me.
That's true. So that character being the Human Torch, not the Human Torch from the Fantastic Four we were just talking about.
Is a robot.
This one's a robot. And the other character, which is Namor.
The Submariner.
And actually, I believe that Marvel was the first one to make a crossover, like to be like, hey, these two heroes share the same universe. Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's comic accurate. I'll have to double check for four color commentary.
It was
one
of the first big ones is when they crossed over.
And they're like, what? These guys live in the same world and they're going to fight each other? Yes, that's what's going to happen. And then the newspaper and the you know, paper sold like crazy. I don't think we'll ever get to see a Human Torch or Submariner movie anytime soon because of where the rights live. I'm assuming that Fox probably owns Namor because he comes with Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at this point. I mean, they basically, to talk about the history of those two characters, once they started the Fantastic Four, which wasn't until the 60s, they kind of retconned the history of the Human Torch, and then Namor became sort of one of the villains in the kind of.
He's like
Four
a weird. Yeah. He's like an Aquaman he's like an Aquaman who hates humanity. That's the best way I could describe Namor to people.
You can call him sort of like a proto anti-hero in a sense, because it's like, well, I hate humans, but I will help the Earth.
Yeah,
and I don't like you, Fantastic Four. except sometimes.
Well, no, he likes one of the Fantastic Four. Well,
we're not going to go there.
So, but Captain America was like one of the first big, like was one of their first tentpole characters. Like, yeah. Before Spider-Man, before the X-Men.
It wasn't even created by Stan Lee.
No, not at all. Not at
Joe
all.
Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Yep, that's right.
Oh man, I love. I was actually just reading recently some stories about Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby, the artist. But he drew Captain America punching Hitler pre-World War II, mm-hmm. when there was still sort of a decent amount of people in the United States who thought like, hey, this Hitler guy is pretty cool. Like, I'm down with that. And like,
I don't know if people were saying this Hitler guy is pretty cool. I'm down with that.
Like
it might have been more like, oh, this guy's, I thought it was more like, this guy's not a big problem. We just shouldn't, we don't have to worry about him.
No, Henry Ford was like a fan.
Oh, well,
you haven't heard about this? So is your pal Walt.
I don't think Walt was.
He eventually got over it. But there's a story. Like, eventually Jack Kirby served in World War II and had, you know, would tell stories about how he killed Nazis. But before that, when he was a comic book artist working in New York City, he would get calls to the office from the ground floor. Hey, you know, we don't like what you're drawing. Come down here and, you know, catch me outside. How about that? And he said, all right, I'm on my way right now. And he would show up in the lobby and nobody would be there. Everybody would run away. But
that's American grit for you right there.
Yeah. Oh, Jack Kirby. But that was the guy who created, that's one of the guys who created Captain America.
Because
they're like, this is, you know, they it's funny because this movie takes place very much inside of the context of World War II. But in fact, Captain America predates World War II.
That's true.
Captain America first punched Hitler in something like April or May of 1941. And we obviously didn't even consider joining the war, or we considered it. We didn't join the war until after December 7th, the day that will live in infamy, when Pearl Harbor was bombed. But that was December.
Right.
And so it's interesting to think about sort of the, sorry, I've been listening to political podcasts in the car, but to think about like the political aspects of this is Captain America doing this thing that even actual America isn't willing to do at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
So he's always been a little bit of a front runner.
That's,
I guess,
true.
You'd say.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's hard for me to pick in my brain who I think is more American, because him and Superman are just so close.
Yeah, well, and they share a lot of the same sort of... They don't share a backstory really at all.
But they're two sides of America. You have homegrown American boy who doesn't know the value, or doesn't know strength. He is his own person who will fight regardless of how strong he is and will not stop. And then gets the power of strength and is able to use it for good.
Yeah, I don't like bullies, sir.
And then, yeah, that's we'll talk about that line. And then we have the, you know, the alien from another planet, the ultimate immigrant.
Yeah.
Who is the story of every American. So they're both so, the two different sides of the same coin, him, yeah. Cap.
Well, and they Supes. they both sort of, I mean, and you can make debates about current Superman and actually the current continuity of
Captain America.
Let us not discuss it. But in a sense, they become the super. This is getting really inside superhero baseball. But they become the superheroic deities of their individual universes.
Yeah.
In that everybody is like, oh, I want to. I am inspired by, and I want to be like Superman. Or I.
Oh yeah,
by,
yeah.
I want
Did
to
you
be
ever
like
read
Captain
the
America.
Spider-Man issue, the 9/11 Spider-Man?
Yeah,
issue?
Yeah.
It's all narrated through Spider-Man. It's all these different Marvel heroes, but he sees Cap, and he goes, I can't even imagine what it feels like for him. Like, he's been through this twice.
Yeah.
Like, he's seen crazy crap happen on American soil more than once, and it must like just boggle his mind. He's stronger than any of us. Like,
but yeah, it's interesting looking at this movie, and then if you think about the fact that his counterpart in the Marvel, in the DC universe, is Superman.
Yeah,
and the differences in those two movies, because I'm gonna go ahead and point it out right now, this movie has no, like, there is no point where it's like, oh hey, Captain America represents Jesus in this particular moment right now. He is the savior of humanity.
No, he's not.
Because that happens over and over again in Man of Steel.
Well, Captain
But it doesn't
America,
happen at all in this movie. In this movie, he is a human the
it's
whole
because
time.
Because Captain America represents the best of what America can be. He represents the American ideal, the American dream.
But even when you start talking about dream and ideal and stuff like that, there's a certain element of deification, and it doesn't happen in this movie.
No, because I think the difference is the difference in story between Superman and Captain America is one man who can do everything and do anything and yeah. can be humanity's savior because he can do anything literally
yeah.
versus a one man who's just like you and me. Maybe he's a little stronger. Maybe he can jump a little further, but he can't fly through the air. Well, not in comic continuity yeah. later he can, but in here he can't fly through the air. He's just a strong man and he's sticking up and doing the right thing. Just like Captain America, unlike Superman, Captain America truly could be you or me. Like it is that level, not quite maybe Spider-Man level, but it's meant yeah. to represent a human, almost a quote unquote attainable ideal.
Yeah. I mean,
where it's just if not. You know what, you could be brave and you can be strong and you can stand up for what's right too
yeah.
in your own way. Maybe you don't go punch a Nazi in the face or shoot a bunch of guys or throw a shield, but in your own way, you can be Captain America. And I guess Superman's the same way, but I think Captain America is a little more, quote unquote, and no pun intended, down to earth version of it.
Yeah, I feel like some people have asked me, oh, what is even the difference between DC and Marvel? And I feel like the characters and the stories behind Superman versus the character and the story behind Captain America are really illustrate the difference.
Marvel
in that Marvel is like, these are human beings.
Marvel is more quote unquote real in the sense that it is
people.
It takes place in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, it takes place in New York City. Like there's no Gotham. There's no Metropolis. They're all real places. And thing number two is that DC's heroes are all of them, even Batman, very godlike in the way that they're portrayed. They're portrayed like the Greek pantheon of gods. Like that's how they are. To where Marvel's heroes are more, I don't know, just more human and relatable.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, let's. But yeah, Captain America. He's great.
A hell of a way to start a podcast. Captain America's great. So let's talk about the people who made this movie.
Yes.
The director.
Joe Johnston.
The director, Joe Johnston, is. It's interesting that he made this movie.
He made one of my favorite Disney live action movies ever. And
Jurassic
technically
Park
it's
3?
A Disney. No, technically it's a Disney movie because it's under the Touchstone logo. But that is The Rocketeer.
Yeah.
This isn't his first foray into comic book. And you could see, like, it felt like The Rocketeer was his, like, you know, demo reel
make Captain America. It's interesting because there's two ways to look at Joe Johnston. And one of them is you look at him as there's this group of directors. It's not really a group. It's a handful of them. But, like, Steven Spielberg was this huge legendary director who made good adventure movies that were kid-friendly. And then if you couldn't get Steven Spielberg, you'd get Chris Columbus, who made movies like The Goonies. He made the first couple of Harry Potter movies. He's made Home Alone. He's the guy you get if you can't get Spielberg, but you want it to be kid-friendly, you know. And then Joe Johnston was who you got if you couldn't get Chris Columbus.
Right.
He made Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He directed some episodes of Young Indiana Jones Chronicle. He made The Pagemaster, Jumanji, Jurassic Park 3. It's not like in and of itself he's this director that everybody, you know, sort of worships the ground he walks on.
Yeah.
And really without The Rocketeer, having him as the director for this movie
wouldn't make any sense.
Is just sort of like him? Like you're getting like a C-tiered Spielberg knockoff.
Exactly, yeah.
But I think the Spielbergian, oh man, that word. I think the Spielbergian aspect of his directing really, really, really fits with the source material.
I agree.
I think that the fact that he has so successfully pulled off an adventure-based World War II time frame period piece like Rocketeer is what makes this movie right on. Makes him the perfect choice for this
movie. And it has that feeling of Indiana Jones being
because they were never going to get. Yeah, I mean, Indiana Jones is really the touchstone of this movie.
Yeah.
And they, were never going to get Spielberg to direct an Avengers movie.
No, of course
not. And then two, I don't even know if at this point we would because Spielberg, like he's making different movies now than he made in the past.
It's true.
But even if we got 1982 Spielberg,
yeah.
I don't know if that would be the right choice. I think that he would push a little harder on themes and this one pushes a little harder on plot instead. And you know, you kind of have to, cause there's a lot of movies that depend on this movie, to work. But I think Joe Johnston is a good director, and I think that he does well in this movie.
I agree. I just feel like, oh, great, it's The Rocketeer meets Indiana Jones. I like both of those things. Wait, you mean you could put chocolate and peanut butter together and I can eat them at the same time? What could go wrong?
Oh, nothing.
Do we want to talk about the writer of this movie?
Sure. There's two writers of this movie, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. They were a writing team, and it's kind of educational to look at the movies that they've written together. They wrote the television movie, The Life and Death of Peter Sellers. Did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Chronicles of Narnia. And then they did the sequel to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And then they did the sequel to the sequel to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And then they did this movie.
And then a bunch of subsequent Marvel movies.
And then they did Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, Winter Soldier. They did some of the Agent Carter show. They did Captain America, Civil War. They also made Pain and Gain, which is that Mark Wahlberg and Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie where they lift weights and then steal things.
Okay, fair enough. I was not aware of that, but okay.
Yeah, no, it looked fun.
So let's talk about the cast of this movie, because, by the way, there are a lot of people in this cast who are now in other things and other media, especially in the nerdy realm that you and I know.
This movie was one of those movies where everybody in it did more and better work afterward. Like, it was a star making movie.
It's funny we're talking about the Fantastic Four, because the star of our little movie here, Captain America himself, Steve Rogers, played by Chris Evans, who was okay. When I first heard Chris Evans was going to play Captain America, I was like, you mean that guy who played Johnny Storm? He sucked in that movie. And that was a classic form of maybe he's a better actor than I gave him credit for, because he's supposed to suck. He's supposed to be Johnny Storm, the smarmy hothead. I'm like, that guy's like, he thinks he's so cool, and he thinks he's like the coolest dude ever. He's not Captain really America. Cool. And I even went into the movie being like, all right, I'll give this a shot. And then they had the line of dialogue, which I think makes Captain America Captain America, which is the part where he's trying to sign up again for enlistment. And Stanley Tucci walks in. He goes, so you want to go fight Nazis? And he goes, no. He's like, you basically want to kill Germans? You want to fight Nazis? And he's like, no, sir, I just don't like bullies. I don't care where they're from. And I'm like, that dude's Captain America. Not only that, but they got Captain America 100% right. And I'm like, all right, I'm down for this. I'm into this. Like, I'm like, this guy's the right choice. Like, I didn't think about it. It took that moment of heart. It was that moment, and then, of course, the moment later where he grabs the grenade and tells everyone to. There are moments in this movie that make me tear up because they got Captain America so right. And especially in the America, little sociopolitical, in the America we live in now, like, this is the only thing that makes me, like, it makes me hear that song in my head about how I'm proud to be an American.
Oh, because at least you know you're free.
Yeah, at least I know Captain America exists.
He also, the thing I knew him from, I hadn't seen the Fantastic Four movies, though.
I by watched all reports, some of
they,
them.
They are bad.
Yeah,
I only knew him from Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah. He was also in another movie.
He's briefly in Scott Pilgrim.
This is his third superhero friend. Do you remember the movie Push?
He likes superhero and comic book
very clear movie. He does.
Actually, technically, the movie The Losers, he's in it.
That's true. That's right.
So he's kind of a nerd, but he also really likes being Captain America.
Oh yeah, he does. He loves
and just
being
if you look
Captain
at his
America.
His presence on Twitter and on the internet.
Oh, he
now.
Loves
like,
being Captain
he,
America.
He loves being Captain America as much as Robert Downey Jr. loves being Tony
and
Stark.
And that's the guy you want to get Captain. Those are the two personalities
you
want.
No question.
And you know, I mean, I'll even go this far. I'll even say that. Why can't I think of his name now? Oh God. Chris Hemsworth also likes being Thor. I'm gonna say that all of them really enjoy like being that thing. Like, yeah. I mean, I'd imagine. Yeah, just like I now see. I have a feeling that all the people who play it. I have a feeling the people they get for the Marvel movies are really stoked that they get to be this character.
I hope they are.
I think so.
I really hope so.
I think so. For the most part, I have a feel. I don't. The only person I feel kind of iffy about, and it's probably because he doesn't get paid a lot of money. From what I understand, Marvel doesn't pay super well. Is another person in this movie who's very briefly at the end, old Nick Fury himself, Sam Jackson. We'll talk about that scene later on.
But also, it's worth mentioning that for a good chunk of this movie, particularly the beginning, it is not Chris Evans' body, though it is his face.
Correct.
It's really impressive how they did that.
I think it looks a little dated now, but it works.
It works. But yeah, he looks like a little dude, and they did it with a lot of just sort of camera tricks, but they also had a body double for a lot of it. And it, like, I don't think they could have done it in the 90s. I don't think they could have done
Oh, absolutely not. No,
no way. It works. It's impressive. It's darn impressive.
It's kind of like when we get to Civil War, the third Captain America movie, when you see Spider-Man's eyes move, you're like, oh yeah, they would. They couldn't, even in the early 2000s, they couldn't have done that. And that's what makes, that's part of what makes Spider-Man Spider-Man. Let's talk about the villain.
Sure. We've got the man who plays the villains now.
And Elrond. Which is Hugo Weaving. Agent Smith himself plays the Red Skull, otherwise known, I'm sorry, what's his name? Johann Schmidt.
And he plays him with a very Arnold Schwarzenegger accent. Here's the
thing. You've probably seen swastikas like maybe three times in this
movie. No, they do a really good job of not showing them.
Because they make it, there's a certain point in this movie where...
Where he abandons Nazism.
He's like, my thing is better. Hydra becomes that. And they literally, I mean, come on. Hydra's, the big Hydra's thing, basically Sieg Heiling with two fists in the air.
Yeah.
So, like, they're skating the line. Like, you see a couple swastikas, people with armbands. Obviously, there's Hitler. But, like, you don't, like, they don't do very much of it. And, I got to give them credit. Like,
I appreciate that.
I mean, I do. Here's the thing.
It's not that we don't know what the Nazi symbol looks like.
No, I do and I don't. I do and I don't. And I think that they did a good job of doing it enough, and they made story justifications to where they don't. Like, the one thing I hate is when it's like we're very clearly looking at Nazis, but they don't look like a Nazi. Like, oh, we even did everything but that thing. These guys, they made it very clear. Oh, these guys are above Nazism now. So they're not Nazis. They're Hydra. It's different. Yeah. It's different. It's more evil. So like, okay. And since Captain America fights Hydra, makes sense. Okay. Makes sense. Moving on. Not a big deal. Let's see. I think he does a perfectly fine job. I mean, that's Captain America's probably biggest bad guy from the time period.
Yeah, he chooses scenery pretty well.
He does. He's Marvel villain. He does a good job. At least he does. You know what? At least he does a German accent. At least he wasn't like British Nazis.
Nothing bums me out more than the British Nazis.
And they're like, I'm a Nazi, but I'm like, no, you're not. Like, this is a Nazi. Like that's a Nazi. You can't
just say the Z. Yeah.
Yeah. You can.
It definitely like leans Arnold Schwarzenegger every so often, but I think that makes it funnier.
Haley Atwell, Peggy Carter.
Oh yeah.
This is a character made specifically for these movies. Am I right? Or was she on?
She's like a pastiche of characters.
Yeah.
Because the last name Carter, and it's complicated is the answer. But they put her in this one.
Yeah.
I think it works.
She's pretty great.
Yeah. No, she's fantastic. I mean, she was good enough in this that they were like, well, what if we just turned her character into a television series?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's great.
Yeah. Oh, she's fantastic.
I don't know what else to say because she's just really good. She plays the role really well. She's not the shrieking violet. She is literally like,
Did you say shrieking?
Is it shrinking?
It's shrinking violet.
Shrinking.
She doesn't shriek either. She's not like the late, like the, she,
you know what? I took a shot in the dark. I thought it was shrinking violet, but I'm like, maybe it is screaming because a scared person screams.
Is she the damsel in distress?
No, not at all. Not at all. Never in this movie is she the damsel in distress.
I appreciate that.
And it's funny because in the show, which I'm sure we'll mention at some point, they do like a Captain America radio show and they make her that way. And she
bums her out.
Pissed off about it. Sebastian Stan, who has a smaller role in this movie, but as we'll talk about in the future of the Marvel Universe,
hardcore nerds know what's going on.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He plays Bucky or, James Bucky Barnes, who, in the original comics, is Cap's best pal. He's basically Cap's Robin in the comics, but here they make him like he's, you know, Cap's same age. They're buddies.
Yeah. He's sort of like his quote unquote big brother. Because Cap's backstory is that he's basically an orphan.
Yeah.
And Bucky is like a kid from his neighborhood who always watched out for him.
And so in this, very clearly they knew they were setting up so they couldn't get a kid to do it because they had to set up for what was coming later.
Yeah, he eventually becomes the Winter Soldier.
Spoiler alert.
The next movie is called Captain America Winter Soldier.
So
surprise, now you know who it is.
Getting somebody to play a World War II general is always fun, and I think they made a good choice here.
You can't get better than Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh yeah,
like,
man.
Especially
if
your role is be skeptical about everything anybody does all the time, there's no one better than Tommy Lee Jones.
Exactly.
For just looking at you and his look says, you are just a piece of garbage.
My favorite line is that one point where Agent Carter kisses Steve Rogers. It's right towards the end of the movie. And he's driving this like car, try to catch up with the air wing, and he just looks over at Tommy Lee Jones. And Tommy Lee Jones goes, I'm not going to kiss you. Just like, oh, there he is.
He's got good comedic timing. I love Tommy Lee Jones. He's great.
Let's see.
I'm gonna be, He's getting old, and I'm gonna be bummed out one day.
Dominic Cooper?
Oh, he's not that old.
Dominic Cooper is in this movie?
Yeah, hey, Dominic Cooper, preacher himself.
Old preacher himself.
But he plays
young Howard Stark.
He plays young Howard Stark, but younger than the version of Howard Stark that we saw in Iron Man 2.
Right. This is young Howard Stark.
Yeah, so there's two different actors who have played Howard Stark, and actually both of them continue to show up in the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
But he's the one who plays young Howard Stark, like 40s Howard Stark, and then 60s Howard Stark is that guy from Mad Men.
Yeah, and I think that they picked...
I feel like that could be confusing for people.
Yeah, I think that... I think. But this is the one thing where you're like, oh, how does the rest of Marvel tie into this? I know a lot of people were really... A lot of people I knew were really confused.
Captain America and Iron Man.
We just saw Iron Man. It's taking place now. We saw Thor. That takes place now. And maybe some of us saw the Hulk. That takes place now. How is this going to make any sense? It takes place in World War II. I'm like, just watch and be quiet, and you'll find out. So we have Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Of course, great character.
Stanley Tucci is great. We have Richard Armitage.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the Hobbit movies, he is Thorin Oakenshield.
Oh, yes.
He is in this movie, and he's pretty good. I just he is an attractive man. Anyway,
Toby Jones.
Yeah, Toby Jones is
he's known for playing two things: this and. if you couldn't get Philip Seymour Hoffman, which you can't anymore, he's known for playing Truman Capote. I mean, look at him.
Yeah, he's also Dobby in the Harry Potter movies.
Is he really? He plays Dobby?
Yeah, he's
I didn't Dobby. Know that. Now I gotta imagine that voice coming out of that little face. No, he does pretty good. Dr. Ziegler, and they allude to a lot of stuff that I didn't realize now that I know more about comics in this movie, like when they show his face on the screen. At one point it's all blown up, you're like, oh, he's already a computer. No,
that's it.
That's coming though.
Neil McDonough is in this movie. Neil McDonough is absolutely one of the that guy actors.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you look at him and you're like, oh crap, I've seen this guy.
He's like
a dozen
B or
movies.
C-list handsome man who you put in.
He's in Minority Report, he's in Star Trek First Contact, he's in so many different things just all the time. He's been on Arrow, he's been on the Legends of Tomorrow, he was on Agent Carter, he's just done tons and tons and tons of stuff.
He plays the same
Dum
character.
Dum Dugan, yeah. In all the Marvel stuff, yeah. But he's been in a ton of movies, and I love seeing the that guy actors, because they pop up a lot in the Avengers movies.
Speaking of that guy actors, there are three other actors in this movie who I want to point out, who have had bigger roles in other things, or people may know. Number one, remember the blonde girl that kisses Captain America?
Oh, yeah, that's Natalie Dormer.
Yeah. She is now a person. Because
she was a person the whole time.
Yeah, but now she's a person of interest because Game of Thrones.
Well, not from person of interest. It's a whole different show.
She's from Game of Thrones.
She's from Game of Thrones. Yeah. Also, she's the one who seduces Captain America in it's not really seduction as much as it is she kisses him in a library.
Yeah, because people want to. I can't blame her. People want to smooch Captain America.
It all just exists to set up some sort of a weird jealousy plot between him and Agent Carter.
David Bradley.
Okay.
Who you might know as Mr. Filch from Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. He's absolutely.
He's also in Game of Thrones, too.
Oh, yeah, of course he is. Everybody is. He's
very, very briefly in this movie, but I'm like, is that guy? And it is. And one more.
Jenna Coleman.
Doctor Who alumni, Jenna Louise Coleman, who plays Clara.
Well, she's just an alum, because alumni implies she's an alumnus. Alumni is plural.
Oh. Okay.
Alumnus.
Well, she's one of one of the Doctor Who alumni. There we go.
Okay, yeah, you can say it that way.
There we go.
She was a Doctor Who companion for several seasons.
Yes, she has.
It's really surprising when both she and Natalie Dormer turn up, because I'm like,
I know you,
but you don't even have any lines. You just exist like as arm candy for this character for a second.
That's true, you do.
No, I think they both have like maybe one or two lines. So they got scale for this.
And that's about it. Those are the only other people I noticed that were like anybody who I know noticed.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty big cast. I mean, Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
But he's only at the very end.
Yes.
Because the movie takes place during World War II.
Right. So
speaking of which.
Let's talk about the MacGuffin of the movie, Ryan. Which I think is a pretty clear MacGuffin. Whether people know it or not, it's the MacGuffin of the movie.
So we use MacGuffin loosely. We tend to use it to mean, it's an Alfred Hitchcock filmmaking term, but it we generally use it to mean the thing that everybody's trying to get, but a lot of times we wrap themes around that a lot. But what's the thing everybody's trying to get in this movie, Ian?
I mean, I would say they very clearly showed us at the end of Thor.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know was going to be a teaser for Captain America, but there was the Tesseract, yep. the small little cube that is
the
from
cosmic cube.
Yeah, yeah, it's one turns out to be one of the Infinity Stones.
What?
What? And that's going to be really important, like two summers from now, or one summer? Is it one summer from now? Yeah, it's
I
one
don't
summer.
Even, does
God,
time
it's
exist?
So close. Yeah, what they've been building up to for 10 years. Yeah, the Tesseract, because and I don't think that we know it's that. At least Captain America doesn't know it's that, but that's what it is.
It's the cosmic cube, for those of you who have only read 1960s comic books.
So, well, but because what Captain America is trying to get is these super-powered weapons and stop the bad guys.
Yeah, and the superpower of the weapons comes from this magical device.
Yeah.
I would say that there's probably a secondary MacGuffin of getting Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, him existing.
Yeah.
And then because I think one of the really satisfying story arcs in this movie is Chris Evans or Steve Rogers going from just this guy who wants to help his country to, well, now you're a super soldier, but you're the only one. So go on the USO tour and raise money for the war.
Yeah.
To like finally becoming, because like if you just watch this movie through, you know, halfway, you're just like, well, crap, when's he going to do the Captain America stuff?
Because
he's just, he doesn't get to do that until relatively quite a while, late in the movie.
There's not a lot of that.
But I feel like the character growth part of it makes it the payoff that much better.
Yeah, and I will say this. This is the one thing. This is finally, this is the movie that delivers on Marvel action sequences, I feel.
More so
than Iron Man, more so than Thor, more so than even the Hulk movie that we saw. Like, this one delivers. Like, there are multiple action sequences in this movie.
So many people get punched.
And starting with the earliest one, I would probably say, which, well, let's do that. I would say we don't need to talk about themes because we talk so much about Captain America.
We did. Yeah.
Like, if you didn't get the themes of what this movie's about from that, like, yeah. I think there's a lot of good moments that show off his character. The one where he's fighting the guy in the alley and he just keeps getting the crap kicked out of him, but he stands up for what's right. Of course, the I don't like bullies part. I think one that nobody ever talks about, of course, the grenade part we talked about, but the one that nobody talks about is the part where they're doing the run and there's the flag at the top of the pole.
He uses old American ingenuity.
He uses his brain. And that's something that you wouldn't expect.
He doesn't
expect
just Mulan it up to the top.
No, he literally just like, okay, pulled out like a little, like, what is it?
Yeah, pulled
like
cotter pin out.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, here's the flag. See you later. I'm going to ride back with Agent Carter.
Yeah, you didn't tell me how.
You didn't tell me how. You just said I had to get it. Yeah. So, America, gotcha.
That should be our new slogan.
America, gotcha.
Gotcha.
I mean, it might as well
just
be.
Just put it right on the flag.
Sorry, cross like a in like a onomatopoeia comic book style.
Oh yeah,
red, white,
man.
Blue.
Oh, it'd be awesome. I'm doing that.
That's accurate. But then you're right. He gets this. His incredible power. He becomes Captain America, and it's like, whoa, hey, what's going on? And yeah, he basically can't use it. It's like if all of a sudden in Iron Man, when Tony Stark finally cracks that Iron Man suit and flies over to Iran. Or whatever, wherever he was at, I think it was Iran, right? I don't know. Afghanistan?
I think that they purposely
some
didn't
sort of
name
ambiguous Middle Eastern country.
Yep.
It's like if the Iron Man suit fell off of him. Like, that's essentially
it malfunctions terribly. It's more like if the United States was like, well, now you can only use the Iron Man suit to be on the Iron Man TV show. And Tony Stark was like, well, you guys, okay.
I guess so.
Aye.
Like, and that's the one thing that I like about this movie is that they have multiple different Captain America outfits. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, they cycle through a couple of them just for the nerds, for the fanboys.
He wears
the classic spangle.
You're a nerd. You're a fanboy. Yeah. Which one is your favorite?
Oh, I like, my favorite is the one that's, he takes the spangly outfit from the dance thing and then armies it up with the helmet that just has the A on it.
That comes straight.
And the army pants.
And we were talking how a lot of this is based on the Ultimate Marvel Universe. That comes straight from the Ultimate Marvel Universe.
And I like it. I've always been one of those superhero guys who doesn't necessarily like the big ridiculous spandex outfits.
I do, and I don't. I do, and I don't
really wear. I mean, I'm not. I've talked a lot about.
You need to watch that Captain Christian video on X-Men costumes and why the coloring.
I mean, I always whine about when things get too gritty and realistic. But I do like it in the costuming sense when it comes to Captain America.
Yeah, I really dig that outfit as well.
Especially, I love the bit. I love the helmet with the A.
Yeah.
Because the reveal of it is, oh, what U.S.? Oh, where's my hat?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I know where his hat is. I know where her hat is.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's the other thing this movie has. It has musical numbers. This has an entire musical sequence in it.
I mean, so did Iron Man 2, kind of.
Yeah, but not like this.
No, that's true.
This didn't have AC/DC. This had a song specifically written for this movie.
Sam Rockwell does not dance in this movie.
No, that is true.
Actually, technically,
So did Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 had a Sherman Brothers song in the background of the.
Did the Sherman Brothers actually write it?
They did.
Really?
Or at least one of the living Sherman Brothers.
I think they might have both still been alive at that point, right?
I'm pretty confident that the actual Sherman Brothers wrote the song for Iron Man 2. And they actually play it in this movie when he goes with Bucky to
the World
Fair.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a whole musical number in this movie, which I think is really weird. I did not expect to see that when I came to Captain America.
But it works. It fits the time period, and it really sort of gives you the sense that this guy is willing to do whatever
to help,
even if it's embarrassing.
Yeah, even if it's
he knows that there is a benefit in doing it.
Yeah,
and that's sort
of he hates it, but he does it anyway.
He knows it's the right thing to do.
Right. I also really like the action sequence that precedes that, where he's like just learning how to use his powers.
Oh, and he's just running past cars.
And he's like, jumping over things. Like, how did I do that? He's like bumbling through it.
That's where Chris Evans is great, because Chris Evans really knows comedy, and so he can be kind of funny, but at the same time kick butt.
Yeah,
and you're just kind of like.
I love that. I love that moment where the Hydra dude throws the kid in the water, and he's like, "I'm gonna save the kid." He's like, "It's okay, I can swim. Go get him."
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
That's a classic.
That's genius.
Yeah,
genius. Great.
Well, it's like a classic kind of Indiana Jones style moment where he's like, "I gotta get this kid," but kid's then the like, kid's like, "I got it. You go. You know, do your thing."
I'm a little redheaded American boy.
I know we're talking about action sequences. Really need to talk about. The thing that we've only touched a couple of times. This is an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
An
Indiana Jones movie.
It's
Indiana Jones meets the Rocketeer. It's a superhero movie that happens to have. The one thing they've done, it's a superhero movie that doesn't take place in modern times.
Yeah.
That is not something that we had that had been. I mean, I'm just going to go out there and say it. I don't think it's something that had even been done really before. Other than like, oh, you're going to say League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I'm talking about a movie
that's not terrible. Yeah.
That's like a big two character. It's not like, you know, oh, we're doing Superman and we're setting him in the 1940s.
And they are doing that now with Wonder Woman and World War One.
That's true.
But I feel like that movie wouldn't exist in the form that it's in currently without this
Captain
movie.
America.
Like
correct.
This movie is everything I've seen about that movie is they're like, well, what if we made a Captain America movie, but it's World War One, and then what if we make it way darker?
Yeah,
which I mean, that last part is.
It's good, but I hear
is what they say about
from
every
a lot of the same
every DC
movie. Problems.
The Indiana Jones-ness of this movie is something that at least I haven't seen the third Captain America movie, but the other America movie, the first two Captain America movies really are dad movies.
They are
movies sort of targeted towards. My dad and really to me, but kind of a little bit of the older male audience,
like dad and grandpa would like.
Yeah.
This.
But I mean, they're, you know, they're adventure movies and there's, you know, punching.
This is how you trick grandpa who thinks it's stupid. You read all those funny books into watching a superhero movie.
But yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, when the production designers and everybody set out, then they're like, we're going to make Captain America movie. Somebody's like, well, what if we made Indiana Jones, a Captain America movie. And everybody said, yes.
Yes, that's a great
idea. And that's
it.
And that's what they did.
That's what they did.
And the next one, to spoil that one a little bit, it's like, what if we made a Tom Clancy movie? But we'll get there. But yeah, it's really Indiana Jonesy, And I love that about it.
I do too.
It's got kind of weird artifacts that we're discovering.
Yeah, and there's a lot of there's a lot of fireballs and explosions, and there is an element
motorcycles
of sci-fi.
Jumping through things.
Oh yeah, and the, you know, walking through different areas
with machine gun fire
and that laser shield tanks. Flying around. It's great.
The shield. Oh man, so cool.
I mean, is there anything? Let me ask you. You could have one superhero like thing, like if they were like, okay, Ryan, you could have any prop from any of the Marvel movies,
like
not the whole Iron Man suit,
like to use,
just to have,
or just to have. To have. Well, yeah, obviously the Captain.
That is the. I mean, honestly, if they were like, you could have any comic book thing over Spider-Man's mask or his web shoot or like the Iron Man suit, I would take that shield.
Plus,
that shield
it would look
is,
awesome on a wall.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, let's be honest.
They made
ourselves.
A. They made.
That's why
made
you
a,
buy superhero memorabilia.
They
in
made
the first
a $300 fancy metal version prop. Of
course they did. That's the version that Stephen Colbert has.
Yeah. No. They made a movie prop up because the. Okay. Now, how I have all these lightsabers on the wall, Ryan?
Yes, I do.
The Black Series lightsabers, whatever it is. They did a Marvel version of that too, called like the Marvel did. Legends series. Yeah. And they have one that's like, they already have two. One's Iron Man's helmet, one's a Captain America shield.
Yeah.
But they have like a plastic one that's like, you know, kind of looks like, it looks right, but it's plastic.
And then they have
like a $300 like special edition metal one that looks legit.
Probably aluminum.
It probably really looks. I saw it at Comic-Con last year. It looks incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw it too.
I took a picture with it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So there's the part where he goes to rescue the Howling Commandos,
yeah,
right, as they become,
and then they sort of form an ad hoc team. He also rescues Bucky at that point.
Yeah, and there's
yeah, that's
the whole,
an awesome scene.
That I'm like okay, and then they do like a montage action sequences.
Yeah,
after that musical number, montage musical number, there is literally where he does literally punch Hitler. There is a montage number of action sequence.
Yeah, and it's sort of
here's Captain America winning the war.
It builds up the Howling Commandos, which were sort of a completely separate group really early on in Timely Comics, and then later they were like, well, let's put all the different World War II.
Yeah, Captain America
the
leads
universe.
Them
yeah.
through the yeah mm-hmm, exactly. And in some Marvel continuity, there's a certain mutant who's part of that, but because for licensing reasons, he's not allowed to.
We're talking about Wolverine.
Yeah, in the comics,
there was actually some hope that there would be a little bit of a Wolverine wink at some point in this movie,
but
there wasn't.
Nope.
Nobody from Canada just sort of like grunts their way around.
And then there's a bit of a lull there after we lose Bucky, because there's a whole big action sequence build up. Then there's this train sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
Where,
which is pretty gnarly.
Which
pretty
is pretty gnarly.
Sequence.
And there's a pretty cool part with the sheet where the shield comes into play. And there's a guy with like a flamethrower. There's a lot of cool Hydra guys that he goes up against. It's almost like a video game. Like there's the regular Hydra guy, then there's the flamethrower Hydra
the boss guy.
It's like in Star Wars where they had like the stormtrooper, and then they had like in the new one they have the shock stormtrooper
with the spinny shock thing. Yeah.
Apparently in the new one, which we'll talk about more later, there's going to be even more. Like Captain Phasma is going to have her own special elite unit with even more crazy commandos
in it. She
can
do whatever she wants.
I know. Let's see. So we lose Bucky. He falls into the ice.
Yeah, you got it.
It's kind of
the whole thing.
It's my one argument. It doesn't feel very climactic in the moment.
It doesn't. And here's, I'll tell you why, because he comes back clearly in the next movie, the next Captain America movie. But I definitely saw it with people who are like, well, who's this guy? And it's like, oh, remember Captain America's friend who dies in Captain America? No.
Like they didn't make
you know, it falls off a train. And
like
it's really tragic. They're I guess.
Like in the comic.
Who cares?
So the end of the movie to just start getting to it is what happens in the comic book where Captain America, the last issue of Captain America, and Bucky's also with him at that point.
Yeah.
Which is there's this rocket, or in this movie it's like a giant flying air wing.
Yeah.
But in the comic it's a rocket. And Bucky and Cap are holding on to it, trying to stop it, and it ends up crashing the Arctic. But Bucky flies off at one point.
Yeah.
And never
to be seen again.
And well, this was in the 1940s, so like Bucky's dead, and Bucky will be dead for a long, long time. And
well,
then Captain America.
That was one of the like unbreakable rules of the Marvel Universe for a really long time was like Uncle Ben's dead, and so is
Bucky. And then, but somebody's like, well, and then Ed Brubaker's like, well, what if we? I have an idea. Yeah. Here's a wild one. And so amazingly, nobody
that,
ever tried
that
to
happened,
do it before then.
That was in the 2000s.
Yeah, so he was gone for a long time. And Captain America, to be fair, too, was also gone for a good like 10 or 15 years until Marvel became Marvel. And they're we should, I have an idea, maybe we bring this guy back.
Yeah. Well, and then they used the like locked in dimensional trans something.
No, same thing they did here. He was frozen, right?
Depending on which.
My understanding is that he was frozen and thawed out. They found
frozen,
just like in the movie.
Is the classic one, but there's also been other stories where he was locked in sort of like eternal combat with Red Skull over the Cosmic Cube in like a dimensional rift because the Cosmic Cube.
Okay.
That's how we had Red Skull in the 60s and 70s.
By the way, speaking of that, the Hydra has some pretty cool vehicles. That giant Red Skull car, the Red Skull mobile.
Yeah. It has like 12 cylinders.
If it didn't have so many swastikas on it or Hydra logos on it, I'm sure they would have made a child's toy version
and
of that.
And the slits over the light.
Oh man, the headlights. Cool. It
looks cool.
It's like it literally is like, oh, somebody saw The Rocketeer or Indiana Jones and decided to make a really cool, neat car. Let's get the guy who did the production design for The Shadow and put him in this.
There's a car that looks very much like that in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That's true. It's probably the same car.
It's some producer. It's the same, like the guy in Wild Wild West, like John a giant Peters. Spider. It's the same guy. It's like, oh, I just want a car that has like six wheels and looks really old and has a ton of motors.
But yeah, there's a lot of, at the very end, there's a lot of running around. There's a lot of big action sequences, but you don't really ever get to see Red Skull and Captain America punching each other in the face.
Get a little bit of punching, and then
Red Skull turns
and
into
Red Skull decides to book it.
Well, does Red Skull, would you say Red Skull is dead or did he transfer to some other plane of existence?
I don't know.
Because at the very end of the movie, he touches the Tesseract and it looks like he gets incinerated, but who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, they haven't brought him back yet, which is surprising to me. Yeah. I figured because they would.
Hugo Weaving's probably
expensive.
By the way,
one of my favorite Marvel Comics moments is from, I think it's the 70s, where all the supervillains get together and they decide to switch heroes.
Oh, man.
To fight.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
And so Red Skull is there and so is Magneto. And if you know anything about X-Men, this is going to be hilarious to you. He's like, well, I'll take the X-Men. You take Captain America. Good luck, Magneto. Ha ha ha. And he's like, you Nazi scum.
Magneto kills the Red Skull
there. He beats the crap out. No, I think I don't think he kills him. He's like, I'm going to kill you.
Actually, I read the sequence recently. He essentially buries him alive. He puts him in a tiny room with no windows or doors or anything and gives him
my dad recently asked me a
relatively small amount of water and is like, no matter what you do, no one will ever hear you. Just leaves them.
My dad recently asked me outside of Wolverine who my favorite X-Men was, and I'm like, does Magneto count? Because that's the answer.
So for those of you who don't know the backstory of Magneto, among other things, he was a Jew in a Nazi concentration camp.
Yeah, and hence Red Skull's a Nazi. So put two and two together.
Pretty good.
But yeah, so the movie seems so Steve Rogers goes crashing down into the Arctic.
And there's a really emotional and really depressing moment with him and Peggy Carter where they realize they'll never be able to get together. He'll always be the one who got away.
It's even worse in the sequel.
We're not going to talk about that because I can't cry on the podcast.
The movie ends in this really like his death meant something. There are still kids like with a trash can lid with a Captain America shield. Oh man, how great is that? That's the thing, Joe Johnston got it.
Yeah.
He really knows what we're doing here.
Do a movie where there's mythos that sort of exists outside of the, and you know how to make it look like there is.
And then Steve Rogers wakes up.
Yep.
And he appears to be in the 1940s. Everything seems to be okay. And then he realizes the baseball game he's hearing on the radio is one he was at, and then goes nuts and starts running through this building.
I would freak out too.
Yeah, he goes running through this building. He runs out into Times Square. Everything's modern.
It looks very Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, the way they shoot like the Michael Bay circle shot. Yeah. And then Nick Fury comes out. He's like, you've been asleep a long time, Cap, but we need you. We need your help. It's like, all right. Thus being like, all right, everyone's here. Party's ready. Let's go.
And then the credits and then the trailer.
Credit sequence is pretty good though, too. Cause they have a lot of the poster, like the World War II.
Oh, they do it like World War II propaganda poster style.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
The pro-America propaganda poster.
Not the
Nazi ones. But there's still propaganda.
Yep.
Just a little more agreeable propaganda.
Stuff we're cool with.
The ending is I remember seeing that Avengers trailer and being like, oh man.
I'm
ready.
They're doing well, and it's great the way it starts with him punching all the punching bags and punching it off the chain. And you ready to get back in the world?
I guess so. I'm Captain America. Oh man. So Ryan, what are your final thoughts on Captain America?
I
still enjoy it.
I really like this movie. I watched it with my kids. It is... with like even the times when people get shot or kind of melt
I forgot about the part where Captain America's flying the little missile thing and the Hydra guy goes through the the fan and turns it into blood soup.
That's kind of very Indiana Jonesy also.
Yeah.
It's as appropriate for kids as Indiana Jones is.
I would agree with that.
And so I watched it with my kids and I didn't have to cover their faces when the
my favorite thing that Ryan ever told me is like when we were watching Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Indy's like, don't look, you're like, listen to Indiana Jones, don't look, and the kids close their eyes so they don't see the part where all the people skip out
because that part's scary.
Makes me wonder if when they grow up they're gonna be like, uh-oh, Indy says don't look, like that's part of the movie now.
I really hope that like in college my daughter is like, oh yeah, no,
if anyone's gonna do
it, what guys, why aren't you closing your eyes, you have to listen to what Indiana Jones said.
Yeah, if anyone's gonna do it.
Emily or Bella is serious. Like, it's just a movie. Like, it's fine. And she's like, well, I've never watched that part. You're not supposed to watch that part.
Look what you've
done.
And
then she's going to watch it and be like, are you serious? This is it? What the heck?
Dad, come on.
Because the ghost effects in that movie are not good.
The skin melting is still pretty horrifying. The
skin melting is fantastic.
And then that guy's head explodes and Belloc's head just blows up into a pile of meat.
I love the way they did that was they literally made
a candle
of that one guy and then like... like shot it with a time lapse with a torch
really?
On
is that
it?
What they did? That's awesome. I really enjoy this one. I don't know. I'm interested to see because we went to the comic convention we went to recently. Somebody said this was in their opinion, the best of the Captain America movies. And I'm going to give it an honest shot and see if I agree with that man's opinion or if I disagree. We'll see.
I haven't seen all of them, so I can't rightly judge. But this one is the most fun.
I agree.
This one is just a fun movie, and it's really sort of this is, I think, the last Marvel movie that you can watch without the weight of the continuity dragging the story in directions that you wish it wasn't going.
Totally.
This is the last one you can watch where it's just like, oh, yeah, Tony Stark's dad. Okay, cool. But like, you can just watch it on its own.
Yeah.
Whereas every subsequent movie, every movie from here on out, and I haven't seen them all, so I can't.
I'm going to disagree with you on one count.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Involves a certain ragtag group of space heroes.
Okay, sure. I'll give you that one. But in terms of
Avengers movies, not Ant-Man.
Of the Avengers movies, this is the last one that exists without them having to have a couple of scenes to set up something in another
movie. Exactly. I agree with you on that. So out of 10, Ryan, what do you give it?
Oh man, I'm gonna give it something pretty high, and I think that the reason is because it's a fun movie, not because it's a great piece of filmmaking.
Right.
And I've used that to debate things on both sides, so don't at me. But I'm gonna give it a 9.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna give it a 9.
9 what?
9, abs. 9 of Captain America's abs.
One more than normal, isn't
yeah.
It?
No, he's Captain Rob America.
Is this Rob Liefeld's Captain America?
Captain America, right. Ian.
I'm gonna give
out of a possible 10.
I'm gonna give it a little bit lower, but not much. I'm gonna give it about an 8. An 8, I think 8 is solid. 8 what though? Okay, 8 dancing Captain America girls that are all the soldiers in World War II want to see. So overall blockbuster. Yeah. Watch it.
No
see
question.
The movie.
Yeah.
Watch
yeah.
it. If you, I mean, all these are going to be for the most part, but yeah, watch Captain America if you haven't seen it already. So that is Captain America, the First Avenger. And that is our show. Before we give you previews of next time, let's do a little back at the ranch. There's been some movie trailers that have come out. Thor Ragnarok.
Oh my God.
Speaking of our stuff, Ryan's so excited.
I'm so stoked about that movie.
I can tell.
It looks just ridiculous and insane and awesome. It's, I mean, Fifth Element gets tossed around a lot, especially with Valerian coming out and stuff like that. But it really just looks just sort of over the top, ridiculous and crazy. I feel the same way about that trailer, the same way I felt about the first Guardians trailer. So I was like, there's no way this movie can be as good as this trailer is right now.
Right.
But maybe it could be. Plus, it's got Jeff Goldblum in it.
And
Goth Cate Blanchett, man, that's such an interesting situation.
Star Wars The Last Jedi teaser trailer?
Yeah, that happened.
Oh boy.
I'm going to watch it.
I'm excited. I think that, you know what I'm more excited about than the teaser trailer? That poster looks awesome.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the director, Rian Johnson. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done actually like a ton of movies.
Yeah.
But I really, really like his approach to movies and stuff like that. And you can tell that this movie, like just from the trailer, it feels different.
Yeah. It feels more Empire. It feels dark. Yeah, it feels like some stuff's gonna happen.
I'm excited not only for the story aspects and, you know, what's going on with that tree or the book or all that stuff, but just it looks awesome.
Yeah,
looks
cool. I'm stoked. And we haven't seen Fate of the Furious yet. It did come out,
but we haven't seen
it. I think a potential spoiler, but I don't know if it's true.
I've been really, really trying hard to avoid anything.
I'm not going to say anything. I hope it's not true, but I read, it was in like a joke post.
Come on, don't. No, it was in a joke. I don't want to know.
It was in a joke post. I'm not going to say what it is. Uh-huh. I just said it was in a joke post on Instagram. So I'm like, is this person making a joke or is this really a spoiler?
But we're going to see
it soon. I don't
know.
We're going to see
it
soon. Because Ryan and I promised Ryan to take him on a mandate to go see it. Ryan loves it so much. And so do I. But other than
you promised the theater with the rumble seats.
We'll see. All right. So that is Captain America, the First Avenger, and that is our show. So next time, guys, it's here.
The Super Action Bros will return.
Yeah, and we're going to be assembling some heroes
some
together.
Assembly required.
Oh, boy. So next time, guys, the moment you've all been waiting for and the moment that I waited years and years for, the Avengers, the first multiverse comic book crossover movie ever. And Justice League can eat it because the Avengers got there first. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And join us next time when we'll be watching, I'm going to call it what they officially call it, Marvel's The Avengers, because that other movie. So join us next time when we watch Marvel's The Avengers. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.